Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got a really special program today. For all of you who are celebrating the 4th of July, I'm just so happy that you're able to join us this hour because we have a very special guest. We have Master Sergeant Ray Bowes, USA officer. He's retired. His book is called Timeline Vietnam, The Tiger That Ate the Firebase. Ray, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
I hope you don't mind me calling you Ray.
No, not at all.
Wonderful. I was so impressed with your book, and I want to let my audience know a little bit about your background and also how we met, because I thought it was very serendipitous. You spent 20 years on active duty with the United States Army. 16 of those years were overseas. You were in Vietnam from 1968 to 69. You are the recipient of the Bronze Star, the Meritorious Service Medal, and the Joint Service Commendation Medal, among others. And you are an expert on military tokens and currency of the Vietnam War. You've written a number of articles. Writing has become a very important passion for you. You have authored 4 books, of which this one is one, and you really, in my conversation with you in Washington, D.C., which was last Friday, it was obvious to me that you really have a passion for giving out the truth, and it is from your perspective, from your experience, but also in your writings, you have shared the stories of many men that perhaps would never have had their story written if it wasn't for you. You also have at the very first of your book a wonderful quote, and it's an inscription on the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial in Washington, D.C. It's a very poignant one, and I think on this very special day I'd like to share it. I have seen war. I have seen blood running from the wounded. I have seen the dead in the mud. I've seen cities destroyed. I have seen children starving. I have seen the agony of mothers and wives. I hate war. That is so powerfully stated. Ray, your book is about your experience. The tiger symbolism intrigued me quite a bit when I looked at the title of your book. With you, when I met you, you have a booth there at just outside of the Lincoln Memorial, and you've been there for 20 years, haven't you?
Well, I've been coming to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial for 20 years. I retired in 1983, and I was involved in other things for my first 5 years in after my retirement. But I began coming to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in 1988, yes.
So with what you're doing and with your writing, people have really responded to what you have written. I listened after we left your booth and having the opportunity to chat with you. There were a number of people that came up to your booth after we left, and I could hear the emotion in their voices and the men and women both who were discussing various experiences with you. This is pretty poignant. This is very heart-touching, and of course you're adjacent to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and the World War II Memorial is not all that far away from that one as well. But with you, why have you felt that you must continue to write about this? A lot of people would say, gee, Ray, why don't you just forget all of this? Why don't you just go on and live a life and totally disregard all of this? This is not something that's pretty. People don't like talking about war. Why is it so important to you, Ray, that you write the stories about yourself and about other men and women?
Well, it's not so much about myself. I wrote myself into this book in paying tribute to Robert J. Wiedemann and to Joel Mock, who were both killed in Vietnam during the height of the Vietnam War. My feelings are this. I write about individuals who suffered the slings and arrows of war simply because the only thing sadder than the stories of what happened to them would be if they were forgotten. And that I want to make sure that they are more than 58,000 plus names on the Vietnam Memorial. I want people to remember, although I cannot write 58,000 plus stories, that each of the individuals on the Vietnam Memorial were people that had families and lives, and those lives went unfinished.
That is a very true statement. There is a very special lady in your life. Her name is Pia Problemi, and she wrote the foreword in your book, and there was one paragraph there that I want to share, and I'm going to quote it exactly as she stated it. Today, when confronted with statements such as war is wrong and war is not the answer, I ask myself, what is the answer? Until we truly learn to live with one another in peace, accepting and not trying to mold others into our ideals, I sadly believe that war will continue to happen. War has always been a part of history. As far back as we possibly can go in history, it has always existed. For you as a young man, and especially this being the 4th of July, we are honoring the Declaration of Independence. We are having programs on television that talk about the fights of the people that were living in this country of ours for the opportunity for the United States to be its own entity, to break with England. What made you decide to go in and go to Vietnam?
Well, first of all, when I was 17 years old, I joined the Army because it had been a tradition with others in my family. My dad had served on Kwajalein during World War II. My uncle had served in the Philippines at the very end of the war, and my youngest uncle had made the U.S. Army a career, and I decided to do the same thing. And of course, I went into the military at 17 with my eyes wide shut, so to speak. I didn't know what I was getting into. I served a year in Korea in 1963 and 64, and then I volunteered for a tour in Europe, which lasted 3 years. As my first 4 years in the Army were drawing down, I was involved with the funeral detail of Bobby Wiedemann, who was from Gary, Indiana. And after his funeral was over, I decided that I had not really paid my dues in the Army. I had not been in combat as Bobby Wiedemann had been, and I decided to extend my tour in the military to go to Vietnam and to see Vietnam for myself.
Bobby Wiedemann was a very special person in your life, and your story, as you tell it in the book, is really quite significant. It touched me quite deeply. Would you mind sharing a little bit of that story with my audience?
Well, I received orders not of my choosing to be a military escort, not knowing where I was going to be escorting a deceased soldier. I was in Fort Leonard at the time, received my orders to go and pick up a deceased serviceman in Oakland, California, and escort the coffin containing this young man's body to somewhere in the United States. And the individual was Spec 4 Robert J. Wiedemann of Gary, Indiana. I escorted the coffin to O'Hara Airport, subsequently went to the funeral home in Gary, Indiana, and met Bobby's family. And they were very kind and concerned about the role I was playing in their son's funeral, and invited me to their home every evening during the time I was in Gary. I sat at Bobby's chair at the table, at the dining room table in the evenings. I was there in uniform with my black military armband on, and and in a full dress uniform when I had supper with them every evening, because it was my duty to do so if so requested. And I became very close to the family and very close to Bobby Wiedemann, even though I never knew him when he was alive.
Your association with the family you've kept up for many years, and there's many more details regarding your experiences with them that I think, should any of my listeners desire to read a real story about a soldier. And you know what, Ray, I think that's so important. There are so many of us that never, ever have served military duty. So many of us that all we know is what we see on CNN, or we see maybe in a glamorized Hollywood movie or a not-so-glamorized Hollywood movie. It's not real. It's not something that we have had footprints in. And I wouldn't wish it on anyone. I have had relatives. My husband has had relatives that have served overseas and have seen many experiences we would never wish on anyone. And there are some memories that I hold in my mind that allow me to have an empathy with many soldiers and a lot of the things that they've gone through. But unless you've walked that walk, as you chose to experience, you really don't know. And your portrayal of information in your book and your experiences are just mind-boggling. Absolutely amazing. And your story about Bobby, and one of the things you do in your book that I find so interesting, you have it play, rewind, fast forward. It's like you have dictated into a tape recorder and you say, okay, I'm going to take this flash of information and I'm going to give it to you, and then I'm going to rewind to this other experience. And you have this continuity in your book dealing with the past, the present, and the future that I find quite interesting. This was a very unique approach. Is this how you originally put it all together, or did you come up with this concept later?
Well, I wrote the book basically in 30 days after I was recovering from an operation, and the way the book is written was the way my recollections came to me. And it was my wife, Pia, who is now Pia Bose, she's no longer Pia Problemi, who felt that the format that I told the story should remain intact. And it was her idea to present this in this fast-forward rewind format, which did not detract from the way the story was originally written. So it was really her idea to put it in that particular format.
Well, I think it was a very, very significant format to follow. When we look at history of our country, when we look at the early days, the days that we are honoring and celebrating with the 4th of July, I think frequently people do not look at things in the way that we can look at. We have so many conflicts that are going on throughout the world, and here we are today with one that is very, very intense for many, many families in the country. Their sons and daughters are overseas. You portray here a lot of emotions about a young soldier and your various feelings. Do you feel that much of what you went through, the young men and women today of our nation experience also?
Well, I can't speak for anyone but myself, Donna, but I meet young men who are both on their way to Iraq, who have come back in one piece with all their fingers and all their toes, so to speak. And I also see fellows that are recovering at Walter Reed Hospital here in Washington, D.C. And regardless of their status, which of those three status they're in, they all are dedicated. They believe in what they're doing. They're fine young representatives of not only the military, but of our nation. And I'm just so proud of them. And I look back at my own time in the military, and I just can't imagine, as a pretty close to 62-year-old now, imagine that I was as dedicated and as caring and as courageous as the young men that are young men and women who are serving in the military are now. I feel dwarfed by their dedication to duty and their courage.
You have a number of stories, but there's something at the very beginning of your book that really struck home with me, because I have heard this statement by soldiers that went to Vietnam. And that was, when you landed in Vietnam and the doors of the aircraft opened, immediately the temperature was hot, and you said you felt like you just walked into a giant oven. There was a pungent smell of fish and fertilized rice patties, and the humidity, the heat, you almost were not able to breathe. I have heard that stated by so many people that have been in the military. That was the first impact that they had. And it's so significant to me, when I went through your entire book, the clarity and the candor that you discuss your experiences with. It's very, very meaningful. This book, your book, The Tiger That Ate the Firebase, Timeline Vietnam, it portrays a story that I don't think most Americans, unless they had served time over there, would even be able to comprehend. It's almost like this could not be real. This would make a great Hollywood movie, but it is real. It was real. And with what you went through, you said there were three kinds of soldiers there. What were those three types of soldiers?
Well, if you're talking about the soldiers that I first encountered in Vietnam at the 93 Placement Battalion in Long Bend,
yes,
there were the fellas like myself who had just got there, who were wide-eyed and just had no concept whatsoever of what was going on. There were the cadre who were snapping around in with precision and barking out orders and telling people where they were to report to and what times their particular pickup points were at, what time they were scheduled for. And then there were the fellows that had the leather skin and the thousand-yard stares in their faces, who were ready to go home and, quite frankly, were just in disbelief, as the new guys were, but with a disbelief that they were really leaving Vietnam. And what I have told people several times before is that Vietnam was both the shortest and the longest year of my life.
Yes. That was a statement that you made a couple of times in your book, and I can empathize with that. One point you brought out that I thought was especially interesting, and that is that during the Vietnam War, families would rarely be told the truth. The military decided that they would tell them what they wanted them to know about their sons or daughters that had been serving there. Do you think that has changed any since the Vietnam War?
I hope so. I think that those in charge of the specific services, the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, and the Coast Guard, have learned a lot from the Vietnam War. In Vietnam, there was a tendency to tell the families that their sons died, you know, instantly, quickly, without pain and without suffering, and that was not always the case. And I think that those individuals who are now in charge of our military have recognized the fact that the families want to be told the truth, no matter how burdensome or how distasteful the truth may be. The families don't want all the gory details, but they expect and deserve the truth when it comes to the circumstances by which their loved ones are either killed or wounded in battle.
And that was the case with Bobby, the young man that you were the escort for at his funeral. That was something that the family finally learned what happened with him. And it, from what you say in your book, open caskets, people were told, or they needed to open up the casket to make sure that their son or daughter was actually the one in the casket. There had been quite a furor over that not being the case a few times, wasn't there?
Well, basically, what I should say first is that when the military prepared a serviceman's body for burial, they did it with absolutely the utmost of reverence and attention to detail and dedication and caring. You know, it was not a halfway done job. They did it to the very best of their ability. But there were administrative errors made. And the press, when I was shortly before my time as an escort, the press had brought this to the forefront in one of the Chicago newspapers, and the Wiedemanns insisted on opening the coffin. It was my job to advise them not to, but the final decision, of course, rested with the family.
You have a very special letter in your book that was sent to you, and it was sent to you by your Uncle Paul, and he was a man who was associated with the 1st Cavalry Division in Vietnam. Tell us about that special group.
Well, I was stationed in Europe. My uncle was deployed from Fort Benning, Georgia, with the 1st Cavalry Division. He was one of the advance party that went over there in early 1965. And he was charged with setting up and ensuring the security of the major base camp where all the 1st Cav helicopters were at. And he wrote me some very poignant letters during his time there, telling me of his exploits in Vietnam, of his year over there. And I think that probably Uncle Paul's letters were one of the things that drew me to make this decision. He wrote to me things like, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit his quote, I don't have it right in front of me, that the blonde-headed KP that was washing pots and pans out behind one of the 1st Cavalry Division mess halls today was fighting in the jungle receiving a Silver Star the day before, and that the 1st Cavalry Division, like all the military units, all the U.S. military units that served in Vietnam, but specifically he was writing about the 1st Cavalry Division, rose to the occasion because of the dedication to duty and the courage of the young men who served with that yellow and black horse blanket patch on their left shoulder.
There was another experience that you had. There was a particular confrontation with a special group, and you found a diary. Now, this story is quite involved, but would you talk about that very special experience where the forces found the diary that you read about one of the Viet Cong, I believe it was?
Well, I did not personally find that diary. It was found by members of one of the infantry units after the battle on the 25th of February, 1969. The excerpts from the diary were translated from Vietnamese into English, and when I was able to read these several experts from this young North Vietnamese soldier and about his concerns and the lack of food that the NVA had, and his journey down the Ho Chi Minh Trail and the mosquitoes and the leeches and the fact that he was suffering from ringworm, and that his commander told him that they were going to attack our base camp at Cu Chi, which was by the Vietnamese was called Dong Zhu Paratroopers Field. It touched me because I realized that all soldiers, no matter what nation they are from, are following orders. And I went to Vietnam to do a job just the way my uncle, Uncle Paul, who, by the way, passed away a year and a half ago, just the way we all go to do our job, and we're there as soldiers to follow orders without agreeing or disagreeing with politics, but simply doing the job that we are asked to do by our country.
Those are very powerful words. And I have, it's on page 59 in your book, and the diary, as you have it here, of this young soldier who, like yourself, was defending his positioning and doing what his government told him to do, and the suffering. He missed his family terribly. And I read that, and I thought, that's the way it is on both sides, on any side, no matter where you are, because we all have family. We all have those special people in our lives. And your book is such a poignant statement in such a powerful way, not only about the people that you've known and the respect that you're showing to your fellow comrades, those that did not make it back and those that did, and the integrity with the way you express your story, I think is just absolutely touching. And I feel so privileged to have had the opportunity to meet you and to talk with you, to have the opportunity to read your book, to know that the story you're telling is a valuable story. Ray, how can people find out about your book? Is it on Amazon.com? I know you said you don't have a website at this time. How can they get the book from you?
Well, one of the ways that they can obtain the book is to contact me via regular mail, and my address is Bowes, B-O-W-S, just like Bows and Arrows,
mm-hmm.
Bowes and Company, Post Office Box 1865, New Smyrna, Florida, and the zip code is 32170. Another way they can contact me is, and I answer the phone myself, or my wife does, is to call me at 386-566-2089, and we can take an order that way, or they can email me at Bowes and Company, that's all small case, B-O-W-S, like Bows and Arrows, Bowes and Company at hotmail.com. The price of the book for your listeners, it's normally $22.95, but for your listeners, it's $19.95, and then, of course, there's some postage involved, but I send those out priority mail, and it's $4.50 for the priority mailing.
Ray, you have done, I think, yourself, your country, and your fellow associates in the military a wonderful service by writing, and I know you've had other books that you've put out. And when you get your next one ready, I hope you'll send it to me, because I would love to be able to review that too. My guest today has been Master Sergeant Ray Bowes. He's retired. His book is called The Tiger That Ate the Firebase Timeline, Vietnam. Powerful book. War is not something we want to talk about, but it exists. It is. And to be able to see it from a soldier's perspective with the humanity, the clarity, and hear the message that's behind it is a powerful experience, and one that I really think is worth having. Master Sergeant Ray Bowes, thank you for being my guest today.
Donna, thank you very much. I really appreciate this interview, and I'm just absolutely impressed with you when I met you face-to-face, and I'd just like to thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure. And have a fabulous Fourth with your family.
Thank you very much.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now. We've got more good things to share on this Fourth of July holiday.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello, and this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. And I know it's the 4th of July, but if you're sort of sitting back and relaxing and you've got the day off, I'm so glad you're joining us today. And here are the toll-free numbers. If you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, the telephone number is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 for those of you in the U.S. of A. Canadians, you can call me on 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And also we have a direct line for anyone else at 530-876-3222. Remember, when you call in, all I want from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that you're welcome to ask a question after I finish giving you my mental impressions, a question about anything that you like. I'm happy to answer that for you. Muriel Walters wrote a wonderful poem, and hey, tonight with the skies throughout the country are going to be filled with fireworks. And if you're in the nation's capital, we were watching it when we were back there last Friday. We were seeing them set up for the huge, huge array of entertainment and setting up the grounds near all of the memorials on the mall for the tremendous celebration that's going to be going on. In fact, it is starting, if it's not already started. It's been going on literally all day long in Washington, D.C., as in so many parts of the country. This is a poem that says, "The sky so bright with fireworks, we gasp and clap and cheer. Lawn chairs parked in every yard. 4th of July is here." And yes, that's the truth. We have areas here around where we are located in the Pacific Northwest, all kinds of community activities going on. This is a wonderful, wonderful holiday. And I want to thank Master Sergeant Ray Bowes for being my guest, because when you recognize that this country, the U.S. of A, just didn't happen. Freedom just didn't pop up like a, you know, website special. It had to be earned. A lot of people lost their lives. And if you're watching the History Channel today, you'll see all kinds of information regarding the history of this country of ours. And there was a lot of hard work, a lot of suffering, a lot of things that were done to enable us to be where we are today, 200 years plus, enjoying the freedoms that we are enjoying. But it takes due diligence, no matter where you are. It is something we cannot take the freedoms for granted. It's a wonderful thing when we think we can do it, but we really can't. We have to pay attention, because we're really in the minority when you look at the rest of the world. The rest of the world doesn't have the freedoms that we have. BBS Radio is able to do the programming it's got because we have the opportunity to do that. We can make the choices. I'm able to talk with you, and in most countries in the world, that would not even be able to be possible. Not to be able to bring all the different guests and all of the different points of information, and that is one of the rights of freedom, but you have to earn it. And it's something we do have to respect, and I say have to. Yes, respect it. Because if you don't, it will be taken away from you. And I've known so many people in different cultures where their freedoms were taken away because due diligence was not done. So on this day, have a fabulous time. But also do a little reflection. Do a reflection and remember, we stand on the shoulders of those that go before us. It really is important to remember and to understand. We can put up all the safeguards we want, but we have to be diligent and be appreciative and stand true to what we know is the right thing to do. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227, or from Canada, 888-815-9756. Now, I had some things that I wanted to share with you. One was a delightful coincidence, and I share this because this is about Holly Henderson, and she's in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is a beautiful, beautiful place. And she said, you know, that sometimes there are things that go on in our lives, and we go, wow, in a million years this would never have happened. It's just timing and the synchronicity and the coincidences of circumstances just sometimes are mind-boggling. Well, this is what happened with Holly. She happened to be parked outside of a grocery store on a particular weekend, and she had had an extremely stressful week before, and she said, I'm an accountant, and we were in our busiest season, and we had deadlines we had to meet, crazy hours. She said, I was just exhausted. There was this wonderful long weekend coming up, and someone suggested to me that I relax, take off, and go to a nearby retreat center. And Holly said, a retreat center? Give me a break. What am I going to go do something like that for? That doesn't make any sense. So she decided that she wasn't going to do it. Instead, she was going through a store, and she said, I was in a hurry. I was so stressed out. I was just trying to beat everybody, and I was looking for the shortest line, and she was totally agitated. Well, she gets out of the store. She goes to her car. She's got some groceries in one arm, and she's got some other stuff in the other. And she notices something's on her windshield. And there was this note that had been left for her, and it was in a wonderful script. She said it was in red ink, and the writer of the note explained that her SUV had scraped Holly's Honda Civic when she pulled into the space next to hers. And she said, I'm sorry. Put down her insurance policy number and her cell phone number, and at the bottom, she signed her name, Elsie. Well, Holly was stunned. She said, most of the time, people just drive away. Hit and runs all the time. People just do stuff, and then they drive away. They never leave a note. Well, a few weeks later, she got an estimate for the repair, and it was $1,500. And she, Holly said, there's no way this woman, Elsie, is going to pay $1,500. So what she did, because the woman had left her cell phone number, she picked up the card, and she thought she was going to have to prepare herself for an argument. Well, Elsie answered the phone. And then Holly said, I'm the lady whose car you hit, and I found your note on my windshield, and I've had an estimate on the repairs, and this is what it's going to be, and it's about $1,500. Do you know what? She was amazed because Elsie didn't get agitated. She didn't argue with her. She took full responsibility for what she did, and she was so pleasant, and she told her, she said, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. And when Holly hung up the telephone, she was stunned, absolutely stunned. She said, how is it possible for this woman to be so gracious, so calm, so together? This is unheard of. Well, Holly got through the real busy period at work, and she did some second positioning thinking about the retreat center suggestion that her friend had made to her before. She said, you know what, I don't even know if this is going to work, but I'm willing to try anything just about once. So she decided she was going to go to the retreat center. And she checked in. She made her, you know, made her appointment. She was going to be there for a few days. And there was a guest book that you had to sign into. And that's exactly what she did. And she was flipping through the guest book, looking for a blank spot where she could put her name in, and she reached the last page. There at the very top of the page, in the same perfect script that she had used in her handwritten note that she had left on my windshield, was Elsie's name. How about that for coincidence? What are the odds on that? I'll just let you ruminate on that a little bit. This is Donna Sebo, and, hey, telephone lines are open. If you'd like to give me a call me at 877 866-5227 if you're in the U.S. of A. If you're in Canada, 888-815-9756 or also 530-876-3222. Now, by the way, I want to let those of you who are listening know my email newsletter for the month is up on the website. And if you want to see it, great, just go into my website, DelphiInternational.com. All you have to do is just go right to the newsletter button. Push that, and you'll see it up there on display for your reading pleasure. Also, all the other newspapers, the newsletters that I have published are archived. And you can go in and download, make copies if you want, send it off to friends, whatever you'd like to do. And if you have a comment or a suggestion for any of my shows, email me. Email me at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And I'll be more than happy to review the material you send me. If you've got a recipe, something special in the way of a story, whatever it is, just go ahead, send it along to me. I always review the material, and sometimes it takes me a while, but if I'm able to use it on my program, I am absolutely delighted to do that. I also want to let you know about the guests that are going to be coming up. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Peggy Collins, and her publication is Help is Not a Four-Letter Word. Peggy is a delightful lady, and if you are one of these people who don't like to ask for help, trust me, after you find out about this book, you'll change your mind about that. You'll not hesitate to ask for help. And then Shireen Dodson has a wonderful publication about Mothers and Daughters Book Club. This book is so great. And if any of you gals out there have adolescent daughters that you're wanting to figure out how you can have more time with, Shireen's going to have some wonderful, wonderful suggestions. It's just really great. So those are my guests for this week. And then I want to let you know, for those of you who are listening from the state of Washington, there's a very special event, a very special activity that's coming up. It is the Renaissance Fantasy Fair. And this is such a special event. I've been participating in it for years now. This is the first three, these are the first three weekends in August. The time on both Saturday and Sunday for the programs are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You walk into this environment. It is out in Gig Harbor. You walk out onto the site and you are transformed into a medieval period where you will see people in costumes. There are activities going on. There is jousting. There's equestrian events. There's gypsy dancing, Celtic dancing, wandering minstrel, storytelling, performances, singers. I mean, it's just absolutely marvelous. And you can shop till you drop. If that is a passion of yours, they have all kinds of vendors there that are reproducing items just as they were done many centuries ago. So this is absolutely an awesome experience, and if you want to have more information about it, research, go to the web, go to the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, and fair is spelled F-A-I-R-E. It is delightful. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to share.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. If you're calling in from Canada, it's 888-815-9756. Otherwise, you can call on 530-876-3222. 3222. And for those of you that are new listeners, we're so glad to have you as part of our listening family. And just know that what I do is if you give me your first name or your initial after you call in, then I'm more than happy to share with you my intuitive perceptions, and then you can ask me a question about anything that you like. I'm always happy to be able to do that with you. Because today's the 4th, and I have had Master Sergeant Ray Bowes as a guest, I thought that this was a very appropriate soldier story. It is about a lady and her little angel that she makes up. This was a story that I thought was just so special. And again, this is the 4th of July. We're honoring the Declaration of Independence, the history, the early days of this wonderful nation of ours. And it just sort of all fit in together, so I thought I would share it with you. The story is about Brenda Birdwell, and she lives in Louisiana. And her journey into a whole new experience of living and life started in the year 2000. And it all began with pain that began in her left leg. And it kept progressing until 3 years later she wasn't able to walk at all. As it turned out, Brenda discovered she had gotten muscular dystrophy. She was in a wheelchair. She couldn't work anymore. And she just got so terribly, terribly depressed and frustrated with this situation. She said a prayer. She said, please send me a way to help others, or I'm ready to go. Take me home. Well, she had an interesting experience that afternoon after she went through these very desperate, emotional, anxious moments. She fell asleep. She had a dream. And she saw herself using yarn to make a small angel doll dressed in camouflage. Now, when she awakened from that dream, it was so vivid in her mind, she became inspired, and she went and got some yarn that she had put away and started making some angels. Then she decided she was going to send them to soldiers that she knew with a letter of thanks for being there to protect us. Very quickly, she started getting requests to send angels around the world to soldier husbands, sons, daughters, and friends. Now, this is very special because Brenda never charges for her angels. However, she said, whenever I need additional supplies, somehow or another, they always show up. She doesn't ask for them, they just show up. And she said what she enjoys most of all are letters from soldiers like Derek Smith. And she gets them via email as well as snail mail. And this was one that came email. And this is what Derek said to Brenda. He said, the night I received your angel, we were on patrol in Baghdad. Our vehicle rolled past a bag we thought was trash. My friend Chris kicked it to the curb, but when we opened it, we discovered a sophisticated explosive device. Had it gone off, it would have killed us. We've carried that angel in our truck ever since, fully believing God spared our lives that night. Now, Derek and Brenda corresponded after that quite regularly via email, and then his emails stopped. And she was very concerned about him, knowing that the situations of war are always quite ugly. However, one day she gets an email, and he says, sorry, I haven't been in touch. His unit had been hit by a car bomb. He said, we all survived, and though my hands and face were burned, I'll recover completely. Everything in the cab of the truck melted, except that angel. Well, when Brenda read the story, she was so filled with joy because she feels that what she is doing is making a meaningful contribution and that her angels remind troops that people back home are praying for them. And in Brenda's mind, that's the real protection. And there is so much to be said about that, because when we remember that it is what we do that makes a difference, Brenda, in her own personal way, is touching the lives of hundreds and hundreds of people. And you know what's so fascinating about that is that when you can touch the life of one person, there's the ripple effect. That person will tell someone else, and then another person tells someone else, and it just keeps growing. And I like to say that the good multiplies. It simply seems to have a glow and a flow all of its own. So, Brenda Bridwell of Marthaville, Louisiana, I think you're a very special lady, and I want to give you my own kind of verbal salute in recognizing you for what you've done, because I think you do make a difference, a big difference, and I feel that way about all of you. Each and every one of you that listens to this show, you as an individual make a difference. No matter what your circumstances are, your economic level is, when you walk your walk, when you walk your talk, and when you come from the point of sincerity, integrity, and good purpose, you can't help but have an impact in this world. And remember, that may touch the lives of people in a way you could never, ever imagine. So it's always strutting the best. You know, Philadelphia is a pretty hot place. Washington, D.C. is pretty hot tonight for the 4th of July fireworks and celebration. While Philadelphia is called the birthplace of America, of course, that's where the Declaration of Independence was signed on July 4th of 1776. And, you know, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, hey, those are names that are very, very much in the minds of most Americans today. And the Philadelphia is just going to be filled with people in the streets celebrating this very, very special place, as well as listening to the free concert by Peter Nero and the Philly Pops. And there's a very special thing that they do for their ceremony in Philadelphia, and that is there's a young descendant of an original Declaration signer that taps the usually silent Liberty Bell. Yes. What an exciting moment it would be for that particular person. So there's so much that goes on, again, around the country, and it's so exciting to be able to recognize and to be a part of those celebrations, but more than anything else, to acknowledge and to say thank you to those people that have gone before us, to the young men and women today who are serving to protect the rights of freedom, and to those of the future that will be doing it, you have our salutes. By the way, don't forget my guest tomorrow. I know we're almost out of time here. My guest tomorrow is going to be Peggy Collins, and we're going to find out how you can make your life a richer experience. And again, I am going to be at the Renaissance Fantasy Fair. You're going to hear me talking about it all the way through the month of August. It's one of the most wonderful events I've ever had the privilege of participating in. And so that is going to be at the Minna Creek Ranch, 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. So get more information about this. It is so much fun. I get to dress up and be queen for a day on those first three weekends during the month of August. And this is the time to start setting it up on your calendar. Maybe you want to fly in from another part of the country. We have people come in from all over the U.S. to attend this phenomenal event. It is so much fun. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You belong to yourself. You belong to this wonderful experience of life. I salute you, and I look forward to sharing more time with you tomorrow. Donna Sebo here. Have a magnificent 4th of July. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.